Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. Translation. Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy, and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus, by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of Lord Ramachandra. Purport. As Lord Ramachandra is the ideal husband, Eka Patni Vrata, Mother Sita is the ideal wife. Such a combination makes family life very happy. Yadyadacharati Shreshthas Tattateve Tarojana. Whatever example a great man sets, common men follow. If the king, the leader, and the brahmanas, the teachers, would set forth the examples we receive from Vedic literature, the entire world would be heaven. Indeed, there would no longer be hellish conditions within this material world. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militanjena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitanjana Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuthapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीन बंधो जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधोभ्येव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर गिविंग मी द ऑपर्चुनिटी टू लर्न समथिंग बिफोर आई स्टार्ट आई जस्ट लाइक टू सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑल द डिवोटीज प्रेजेंट So that I may be able to say something worthwhile to your time and do some justice to sitting here in front of Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees. Hare Krishna. So the first line of the purport, Prabhupada starts off with saying that this combination of Sita and Ram has worked, is the ideal combination. Why? Because Lord Ramachandra is the ideal husband, and Mother Sita is the ideal wife. So, this combination, I was just thinking, is like water. You know, the molecule of water, the chemical formula for water is H2O. Yeah? So that's really cooperation. If you see these two elements individually, they are very much aid the fire. Hydrogen on its own, it increases the vega or the influence of fire. Oxygen also, it increases the fire. But when you put these two elements together, then they produce something which is completely against fire. But the combination is very specific. H2O. Not H and O, but H2O. Now, this is for cooperation between two individuals. What's so striking about this combination when H is twice, two elements of H and one atom of oxygen, is that someone always has to take the humble position. Huh? Someone always has to be willing to listen, willing to serve, willing to accept the position of the other, then this combination works very well. That doesn't have to mean it's a one-sided route. Sometimes the man has to take the humble position, and sometimes the Mataji, or the lady. And we see that even in the relationship of Ram and Sita. It wasn't that, you know, Sita was always being used and abused. But Ram was also being told off sometimes. When Sita Devi wants to come with Lord Ram to the forest, Ram says, no, no, no. It's your duty to serve the elders. Sita Devi says, no. And we'll go through some of the verses from the Ramayana, how she's actually very strong. And she tells Ram, look, you know, why did you marry me? If this is this someone else you like, or why are you telling me to stay here and you want to go in the forest on your own? So this combination, someone in school once asked his students, so can anyone tell me the chemical formula for for water? One of the students raised his hand and he said, yes, H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O. The teacher said, what? I asked you for the chemical formula for... So then the student said, yeah, you told us that the chemical formula for water is H2O. That's cheesy, huh? I thought I'd throw that in. So, many people have made a lot of comments about marriage. And these are some of the lighter ones, some of the better ones. One said, marriage is like a duet, where one person sings and the other claps and gives the beat. So it's a combination. Someone said once, happy marriage is where the man provides the landscape and the woman provides the climate. Ah, that's the secret of a happy marriage. The arithmetic of marriage is 1 + 1 equals everything. And 2 - 1 equals nothing. Think about that. Someone once said, success in marriage is not about finding the ideal partner. Yeah. Success in marriage is about being the ideal partner. Someone once said, when you actually get married, you don't marry one person, you marry three. And this is something not to worry about, but to think about. When you get married, the first person you marry is the person you think he or she is. Those thinking of marriage, there's a lot of confusion in the mind. So that's the first thing. You marry the person you think he or she is. Secondly, this you find out later on, you marry the person who he or she is actually. As the time goes on, you'll find that out. And then, the third person you marry when you get married is the person she or he becomes in your association. And all these three people, hopefully, are in that one person. So that's just my part on marriage, and I can't say much more because I don't have any experience on relationship issues and things like that, but that's just something. Now I'd just like to go into the Ramayana and how this literature, you know, just recently we've been going through the Ramayana, and here Sukadeva Goswami, he's saying that you've heard Ramayana so many times to Parikshit Maharaj, but here I'm just going to give you the gist of Lord Ram's pastimes. So in more or less one chapter, Sukadeva Goswami has told him the whole of the Ramayana. In the next chapter, he will talk about the Ram Rajya, or the effects Lord Ram had on the population. But the pastimes he has covered more or less in this chapter itself. So the Ramayana, was written by Valmiki. He's, you know, generally we think Vyasadev is the sage who's given us all the shastras, but here Valmiki is again a very great sage who's instructed by Lord Brahma to write about the characteristics and qualities of Lord Ram. And this is, in fact, even before Lord Ram has appeared in this world. So Brahma tells Valmiki, Valmiki feels very insignificant. He feels, I cannot write about such a great personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to be honest, I don't know about Lord Ram. So then Brahma gives him some inspiration, some encouragement to just start writing. He says, Rahasyam cha prakasham cha yadvrittam tasya dhimata ramasya saha saumitre rakshashanam cha sarvasha vedeya chaiva yadvrittam prakasham yadivaraha tachapi veditam sarvam viditam te bhavishyati. The adventures of the valorous Lord Ram along with Lakshmana, and the misadventures of the demons, Ravana, known or not known in every detail, and the plight of Vaidehi, Sita, which is either revealed or unrevealed so far, and whatever legend that has happened, all that will also be known to you, even if it were unknown as yet. So Brahma is telling him that don't worry, you just put pen to paper and all the realizations, everything you need to know, you will find out. So Prabhupada also, he would say that these books are not written by me, but Krishna has written these books, and that's why he would read these books sometimes as well. So the main points that the Ramayana talks about, the essence or the three goals of the Ramayana is, first, Rahasyam cha prakasham cha, the Ramasya, the character or charitra of Lord Ram, the predicament of Sita Devi and the character of Sita Devi, and then Rakshashanam, the difficulties the Rakshasas or Ravana caused to this world and to humanity. So these are the three principal topics of the Ramayana. Here, in this verse, Sita Charitra, or the characteristics of Sita Devi, are being delineated or focused on. So I just wanted to focus on the character of Sita Devi. Sita Devi, her principal characteristic in all of history is considered, in specific terms, to be chastity. Sita Devi is known to be one of the five most chaste women in all of time. Then we have Savitri, we have Draupadi is there, also Dushyanta and... Shakuntala is there. So, few, but Sita Devi is in particular known for her chastity. Why? Because, in particular, if you think about the Ramayana, then she was kidnapped and she was offered everything to be at her disposal. However, she stuck to love and her dharma as the wife of Lord Ram, who was at this point a hermit with nothing and just living off fruits and berries and things like that. So this chastity in through her life, all the way from Mithila, from when she is in her father's house to the time when she encounters Ravana and goes through this great test of, you know, being threatened with her life, but she remains chaste. So in the wedding ceremony, there is one part where the father of the bride gives the hand of the girl, kanyadan, to the boy, the man, and he pours Gangajal over the two hands. The Gangajal represents responsibility, or the responsibility being transferred from the father to the husband. But also, when Janak Maharaj was doing the ceremony, he says to Lord Ram that this girl is Pativrata. Pativrata Mahabhaga Chaya Iva Anugata Sada Ityuktva Prakshipat Raja Mantra Puta Jalam Tada. That this girl is Pativrata and she is Mahabhaga. She is very fortunate. Chaya Iva Anugata Sada. May this girl follow you just like the shadow. Just like a shadow follows a person, may this girl also follow you. And saying this, ityuktva prakshipat raja, this great king Janak Maharaj poured the water over her hands and into the hands of Lord Ram. And this is in the Valmiki Ramayana. So why is that significant? Is because it shows into the future life of this couple. Yes, she did follow Lord Ramachandra, just like a shadow. She says in the conversation between Ram and Sita, she tells Ram that you've married me, and the duty of a wife is to stay with the husband. There's no other resource, there's no other shelter for a wife, or for a girl, than a husband. And therefore, you must accept me. So, then in Ayodhya, this whole episode of Ram being banished to the forest, and he tells Sita Devi to look, now Bharat is the king, you stay here and follow whatever Bharat says, and just serve the elders. And so he's giving her advice on how she should stay in the next 14 years to come. So she gets upset, you know, like anyone would get upset. And she accuses Lord Ram of, you know, being unfair. Now, how can you not take me? So she says, in her plea to Lord Ram, she says, Ananya bhavam anurakta chetasam toya vimuktam maranaya nischitam nayasvamam sadhu kurushva yachanam nate maya ata guruta bhavishyati. That, you know, I'm sure we caught the first word, ananya bhava. Prabhupada Krishna explains that the devotee's devotion is also ananya bhava. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityasha tasya aham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. That ananya means no other. Bhava means emotion or connection or desire, aspiration. So when a person has no other aspiration other than Krishna, then he is on the stature of a pure devotee. But here Sita Devi is saying, towards you, Ram, I have ananya bhava and anurakta chetasam. I am anurag, is that great attachment. My mind, my consciousness is too attached to you. Tvaya viyuktam, in separation from you, maranaya nischitam, I have already nischaya, I have already made my mind that in separation from you, maranaya, I won't live. Nayasvamam sadhu, O great personality, take me with you. Kurushva yachanam, swikara, or please accept this prayer, plea. Yachana is plea. Please accept this prayer of mine. Nate maya atha guruta bhavishyatam. That while we're in the forest, I won't cause you any difficulty. Ananya bhava anurakta chetasam is like, I'm desperate for this relationship. You know, when someone's desperate for a relationship, then he'll do anything. Just to get that relationship, confirmed or established, he's willing to go anything, even to the standard of people thinking it's madness, right? And so this is when she says, the acharyas explain, when she says that in the forest you won't get any difficulty on my part, she's saying that I'm so mad about this relationship that I'll do whatever you say. I'll live as you keep me. I'll eat what you give me. So this is her emotion. This is her situation. And then she goes, Patram moolam phalam yatvam alpam va yadi va bahu dasyasi swayam ahritya tanme mritam rasopamam. Patram phool, you know, patram pushpam phalam toyam. You know, Krishna says in the Gita that if one offers me even a small flower, a fruit, I will accept it. So similarly here, Sita Devi is telling Ram, Patram phoolam phalam yatvam alpam yavadi va bahum. Whether you give me a little bit of fruit, you know, one day few berries, next time a little bit more, whatever it is, whether it's little or more, I'll be happy. Dasyasi swam aharitya, whatever you give me, amritam rasopamam, I will take that little or more, just like nectar, and I will live in that situation. Leaves, tubers, fruits, either a little or abundant in quantity, brought and given by you yourself, will be like nectar to me. So she is trying to convince Lord Ramachandra. And this is how we convince, when we want to convince someone, then Sham, Dama, Danda, Upahara. So these four ways are how you convince someone. Shama, either you control, when someone is under someone else's control, like a subjugated king, then he has no choice. He's got to follow whatever the person is saying. Dama is, don't remember. And then there is danda, or punishment, or threatening. Sita Devi is threatening her, threatening Ram that, look, I'm going to die if you don't take me with you. So, it's not threatening him directly, I'm going to do something to you, but if you go, then I'm going to perish. So that's threatening. And then upahara. Upahara is you flatter someone, you give someone something, and then they come under your control. So here, Sita Devi is saying, look, you keep me however you want. I'm not going to be any trouble to you. Just please take me with you. And then to add to her prayer, she goes, Yatvaya sahasa swargam nirayo yatvaya vina iti janam param pritam gacharama maya saha. She says that with you, wherever I am, that is heaven. And without you, wherever I am, is hell. Iti janam, knowing this, please know this for certain. Param pritam, O my dear Lord Ram, gachha rama maya saha, please. If you literally translate gachha rama maya saha, means please Ram, come with me. Huh? Come with me, Lord Ram. But obviously she's saying, I want to come with you. So, for a person dependent, a wife or husband, ideal, Ramchandra is establishing the ideal standard. So, the company of a husband and wife should be so dependent on each other. We understand the principle is, if you don't depend on something, you'll depend on something else. Right? Dependence has to be there. So, this relationship, the dependence of husband and wife is to this standard that when we're together, then it's like heaven. And when we're away, then it's hell, or it's suffering really. And therefore, Ram should understand that I need to come with you. I won't be able to live otherwise. Then she says, Idam hi sahitum shokham muhurtam apina utsahe kim punar dasha varshani trini chaikam chadukhita. That you're telling me to stay away from you, but sahitum, I cannot tolerate the shokha or the suffering of separation from you even for a muhurta. A muhurta is 1/11th of a second. So if I cannot even tolerate, Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Sri Gornitai ki jai. If I cannot tolerate separation from you for even a moment, then how can you expect me, kim punar dashavarshani, how can you expect me, or kim punar dasha, what do you think the situation of mine will be, living in separation from you for 14 years? So if I cannot even tolerate a moment without you, how will I tolerate 14 years without you? So then Ram finally accepts, and then Lakshman goes with her, with them as well. And then in Lanka, when Ravana takes her, we know that Lanka is a golden city. It's not just painted gold, but it's actually solid gold. Huh? Like Jaipur is called the pink city because everything is painted pink. But here, Lanka was not like that. Lanka was made of gold. The pillars, the roofs, everything. It was all full of gold, means extreme opulence was there. But when Sita Devi was taken and given to the guards to be taken care of or to be convinced that she should marry Ravan, then she's obviously not interested at all. And she lives in this small forest or this small garden. And one by one, continuously, Ravana is sending different individuals to try to convince Sita. And then he also applies the technique of threatening. He says, look, you got 4 months left. If you don't accept me in 4 months, then I will have you for breakfast. Huh? So someone is saying, this is the love he had for her. That, look, I love you so much, either you marry me or I'm going to eat you. Huh? So this is a standard of materialistic love, right? But Mandodari is very interesting, that she's the wife of Ravana. And she's also in the list of the most chaste women. Mandodari is the wife of this individual who has just kidnapped someone else's wife and wants to get married to her. So she's trying to convince him, like a good wife should do, that look, this is not right, you know. You've got so many wives. You've got everyone you put your finger on, they've accepted you and they've wanted to be your wife. But this one is different. This woman you've come across is not your ambitious, looking for some gain girl. She is very chaste. So therefore you shouldn't try to pollute her, and you should accept what she is saying. Similarly, so there's so many examples of Sita Devi's chastity, but I was just thinking of Urmila, who is the wife of Lord Lakshmana. She was also an extremely chaste lady. When Lakshman decided to go with Ramachandra, it's explained that just through eye contact, Lakshmana explained to Urmila that, I will be back and you please stay here. Because if you come as well, then I'm not going to be able to focus on my service. Huh? I'll be taking care of you, and who's going to take care of Ram and Sita? That defeats the purpose of me going to the forest. So therefore, you stay here. And she accepted. So one day, while Lakshman is in the forest with Ram and Sita, so all day Lakshman would do all the daily chores, you know, getting the wood for the fire, setting up the bed in the hermitage, you know, getting the berries. Ram and Sita were on holiday, you know, and Lakshman, he would do happily all the service that was required. And at night, because they are in, you know, in a danger zone, they're in the forest infested with demons, he would guard the hermitage. So walking around the hermitage, you know, just flexing the bowstrings and things like that, he would guard all night. So he hadn't slept for 14 years. And by this time already, he hadn't slept for a very long time. So Nidra Devi herself, she comes to Lakshman and she tries to encourage him, look, why don't you take a nap? I'll guard, I'm here. You sleep for a few minutes, you know, you sleep for some time. And Lakshman, he can obviously understand the desire of Nidra Devi. You know, everyone likes associating with Nidra Devi. We can get her out of our, you know, consciousness. But here, Lord Lakshman is completely unattached. And so he tells Nidra Devi that, look, I'm happy and I'm not disturbed at all. But if you really want to do me a favor, then please go to my wife, Urmila. She also, like me, hasn't slept all this time. She knows exactly what's happening in the forest, being in Ayodhya, and therefore, just like me, she also hasn't slept. So then, this probably brings tears in the eyes of Nidra Devi, and she asks, you know, why do you say that? Why should I go to your wife Urmila? She's in the palace. She's having a good time. But he goes, no. Me, I'm the one who's having the good time. I have Sita and Ram with me. On a regular basis, I see them. I do service for them. Whereas her, she's only serving in separation. She doesn't even get to see Lord Ram and Sita. And while this discussion is going on, Ram and Sita in the hermitage overhear this conversation. And then immediately Sita Devi says, you know, we should go. And then they go and visit Urmila and, you know, give darshan to Urmila. And obviously then it's a happy situation for everyone. But this is Urmila's chastity as well, that she was happy to be in difficult situation. Just like for Sita it's hell without Ram, for Urmila it's hell without Lakshman. But she is willing to live in that hell with the thought that my husband is happy. No? My Lakshman, he's happy serving. And ultimately, the Supreme Lord is being served. So, I'm happy. In the Mahabharata, when Kunti Devi gets married to Pandu, on the first night of their marriage itself, Pandu is called out to war. And Kunti Devi is obviously, for a girl, this is like the biggest event of her life, you know, the marriage and the whole thing. So she is taken aback a little bit that on that very first night, my husband is going on war, not just going somewhere else, but going to war to fight, and this could be the end. But then when Pandu wins the battle and he's coming back, she has a discussion. They're all on the roof. Gandhari, Kunti, they're on the roof of the palace and they're looking at the armies coming back. And Gandhari talks to Kunti Devi, telling her that you're a great woman. For your country, you've accepted the second position or second most dear position to your husband. Because for him, Hastinapur is the most dear, for his duty. And then she says, if this is the desire of my husband, if my husband is so dedicated to his duty, then I'm very happy being number two in his life. And I think when the devotees talk about how Krishna has to be kept in the center, then every relationship will work out perfectly. This is, from my understanding, keeping Krishna in the center, keeping the service and keeping the Guru Hita, or the benefit of the spiritual master and Krishna, the priority. And then I think everything else will be good. So chastity is not only husband and wife. Chastity, Shastra explains, is also for ourselves. Chastity in understanding and following the instruction of the spiritual master. Chastity, we talk about how we should be chaste to ISKCON, to Srila Prabhupada's movement. Now, following the spiritual master's instruction, if you remember in the Ramayana, there is a pastime of Shabari. Shabari is a Shudra woman, a low class, apparently low caste lady, not low class, low caste lady. And but she is the disciple of Matanga Rishi. And at a certain point, Matanga Rishi with his disciples, with his different sage disciples, he is walking to heaven, he's going. So she starts following him as well. And when Matanga Rishi realizes that she's also following, he says, sorry, you can't come with us, you're not ready. So then she asks, why? I'm a disciple as well. And he says that, look, right now is not the right time for you, but rest assured that one day Lord Ram will come. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, He will come one day and He will bless you. So, and then Matanga Rishi leaves. Now, Shabari, all she is left with is this instruction that one day Lord Ram will come and bless you. She doesn't know when this one day is. And because she has such faith and dedication to the instruction of her spiritual master, for her that one day is every day. And it's explained that for 10 years, 365 days a year, every day she would get flowers from the forest and she would lay down like a red carpet, lay down flower petals on the path of her ashram. Every day she would collect berries and fruits, have her, you know, stock ready for when Ram comes, so she can serve Lord Ram something in her humble hermitage. So for 10 full years, just living in the hope and faith of the Guru's instruction that look, one day Ram will come, she spends 10 years. And when the day does come, you know, it's like when you have to, for example, give a class, you're so disturbed before, you know, so much confusion. And then when you actually come to give the class, you know, before you prepare 3 pages and you can't even cover half the page during the class. So then, like that, Lord Ram, when he actually comes, Shabari has made all these elaborate plans, but she can't do anything when Ram comes. And, you know, she's just crying, she can't even see him clearly, you know, there's no wipers on the eyes, so she's just completely enamored by, oh my God, Lord Ram has come, finally, that day has come. And then the famous story of, she doesn't know how to serve best Lord Ram, so the best, in her consciousness, the best thing she can do is offer him berries. And, you know, in the forest, if you've ever had, you know, not just Sainsbury's berries, but if you've had forest berries, then some are, they're very random tastes. So to serve Ram, make sure that he doesn't have discomfort, she tastes each berry. And she gives that berry, okay, this is sweet, and she gives it to Lord Ram. You know, Shudra lady giving Lord Ram simple offering like berries, and then not just that, but she's eating, making them jhuta, you know, and giving the berries to Lord Ram. And, you know, Lakshman is completely taken aback, but Lord Ram very happily tastes and eats those berries. So this is the dedication of a disciple to the spiritual master's instructions. So we have to be chaste. Just concluding on one point, this the chastity of a lady is, or a man, is when there is one pointed, one reference point of the object of being chaste for. Like when you say a woman's chaste means literally or very straightforwardly, she's not looking at other men. Or she's not thinking of, you know, relationship, or he's not thinking of relationship with other people. So similarly, when we say, you know, chaste to ISKCON, one verse in the Bhagavad Gita says, Sarvarambha parityagi gunatita sauchyate, that this devotee, Sarvarambha, all beginnings, parityagi, he has stopped starting off things, literally. So there's this morning walk where Prabhupada is having a discussion, and this person, he brings up this point of Sarvarambha, what is this Sarvarambha parityagi? And effectively, if I remember rightly, then Prabhupada says that because he has now found that shelter of Krishna, there is no more looking for him. He has stopped looking. Just like once you find that girl, once you get married, you got to stop looking. There's no more. It's finished for you. So this is the dedication. Like there was once Prabhupada, I think it's in Hawaii, these two devotees, they were doing some random programs and they were getting very successful. You know, they weren't quite following what Prabhupada was saying, but they were doing very innovative stuff and devotees, people were coming. So then the devotees came to Prabhupada once in the meeting and they said, Prabhupada, it's really working. Can we continue? But we can't have the banner of ISKCON, that this is ISKCON's project. It has to be ours. And then Prabhupada, he said, you can continue. But if you leave ISKCON, then you leave me. And that completely changed their view of what they were doing. Prabhupada said, if you leave ISKCON, then you leave me. And that's the dedication we have to have. We have to be chaste like that. You know, just closing on a small note, there was once two people, they were drowning, they were on a boat, and they had a debate. Sorry, this is on a cliff, they had a debate. They said, you know, sometimes on the streets we meet either the born-again Christians or the Muslims, and they always like, you know, they're the people you don't have to go to, but they'll come to you, right? And they'll start discussing. So these two individuals were similarly, probably, you know, a book distributor and another faith. So they're on a cliff and said, look, now we're going to make a decision here. If your God is supreme, then you jump off this cliff and we see if God saves you. So then, you know, as the person was, he said, yeah, no problem. I'll just take an example. He says, oh Allah, save me. He jumps off, gets saved. And the other guy is not a book distributor, but he's a Hindu. This is a comment. And he jumps off the cliff and he goes, oh Ma Durga, please save me. And he's still following. He goes, oh Lord Shiva, please save me. He's still falling. He goes, oh Ganesh, please save me. Still falling. Oh Hanuman, please save me. And still falling. Oh Krishna, please save me. Hits the rock and dies. So then he goes, he said Krishna at the end. So he goes to Krishna and he's angry at Krishna. He said, Krishna, you know, how can you do this? I called out your name and you didn't come to save me. He goes, I was just about to come, but it was so late, you hit the rock. First I saw, Durga is on her way, she's going, no problem. Then you said Shiva, so Durga stopped and Shiva started going. And then Shiva was going and he saw, now you're asking for Ganesh, so he stopped and Ganesh went. And like that, by the time my turn came, it was too late. So, very sorry, but you should be happy you're with me now. So, chastity, devotional practice must be there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.